Welcome back to the Sully Scoop, where three lifelong Husker bros dive in depth on all surrounding the new era of Husker football, where our cups never run dry of the Roulade under head coach Matt Rule, made by fans for fans with J-Saw, B-Saw, and T-Saw. The Sully Scoop is the official Nebraska Cornhusker football podcast brought to you by Big Banter.
You're back here on the Sully Scoop here in the offseason, and we have some tragic news coming out of Lincoln. And that is Trev Alberts is hitting the highway, he's hitting the road, and he's out of Lincoln, headed to A&M. How are you guys feeling?
Good riddance to Benedict Alberts.
Yeah, J-Saw, I was really shocked with the news, to be honest. I mean, it was only, 4 months ago when he signed like an 8-year extension and then said that
he gave himself a raise
and wants to be. Yeah, but point being, he said this is the place he loves, wants to be. He's Lincoln, you know, thoroughbred in and out. He bleeds Lincoln red. And, you know, for 4 months later, he's gone. So you just kind of wonder, like, what's going on in the background that's so bad that you don't want to stick around and, you know, see, you know, what seeds bloom into that you planted all over the university.
Fellas, I got to tell you what it is. I thought it was money at first, but then doing a little research, he's going to be the top three in the Big Ten for ADs across the Big Ten. If somebody else gets a raise, and guess what? That bumps him to four. He gets a raise. And guess what? It wasn't just in the Big Ten. It covered college sports. It covered every single college. No college in the country could have higher paid ADs. Four of them, okay? They could even have three of them. They could have two higher paid ones. But as soon as that third one came up, oh, Trev's back into the top three. It's not money, fellas. It is a scandal that is going on within the program that named him.
No.
And this comes within a week after it was named. And the lawsuit was filed. This goes into the women's basketball team within the program at Lincoln, Nebraska.
Now, J-Saw, I'm going to stop you right there. I've heard all these rumors that he's named in a lawsuit, this and that. You can leave a program, and guess what? You can move states. You being named in a lawsuit, you're still named in a lawsuit. Doesn't matter where you live. They can subpoena you still. You still have to come out and talk. Are they going to spend the money to do that to him? Probably not. It's not that big a distraction. I know that's what everybody's saying. And no, I agree with you. It's not the money. It's not the blood oil money that A&M has down there. You know, Trev signed and gave himself an extension to stay in Lincoln that made him one of the top three paid ADs for the next 8 years, regardless of what anybody else gets paid. He's going to get a raise. So it's also not money. What I think it is, and I don't think anybody else realizes it or hasn't wanted to shed light on it, it's the Board of Regents. The fact that they have not found a replacement for Ted Carter, you have put Trev Alberts in a situation where him and Ted Carter put together this giant renovation plan for the stadium. And again, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. $450 million that the president was supposed to head up. President bails, leaves, goes to Ohio State. It has been months and they haven't brought anybody in. Trev has no boss, no direction. It's himself there alone. And now he has to run all the athletic departments and head up all these renovations and big projects that him and Ted were putting together. They didn't give him a say in who they were going to hire as president. They didn't hire a president. The Board of Regents was sitting there twiddling their thumbs, putting them somewhere, you know, where the sun doesn't shine. And that is the reason he decided to leave.
Absolutely idiotic take. I haven't heard somebody in this world come out and say, you know, I don't have a boss, so I'm leaving. Look, that is not what.
But when you don't
says.
Have, when
he likes
he
to do
didn't
his
have
own
a
thing.
Boss,
guess
no,
what? He got to
no,
make his
because,
own contract uh-uh. that made him one of the top paid
erroneous
athletic directors in all of the country. One of the top in the world.
J-Saw, I'm not sitting here saying that he was like, oh, I don't have a boss, I'm leaving. No,
that is what
I'm telling
you. Said.
No, they didn't have a president in place. So they basically said, hey, Trev, guess what? You get to do the job of the president and the AD. And that's why he left.
To be
he
fair,
wasn't doing that.
He was getting paid to do both jobs. To
he
be
was
fair.
Getting, no, he was getting paid to be an athletic director.
Hey, I'll do both jobs. Give me the paycheck that you were giving Trev. I'll come in and do both jobs. I'll stay in Lincoln,
but,
and I won't complain about it.
Tiso, but
give
they
me
weren't
half.
Paying
that he
him
was
to
give
do
me
both.
Half.
No.
Give me
what
half.
Was he, what was he getting, like, 8
1.
million, 10,
7,
10 million bucks?
$1.7 million a year, and that
oh,
was to go
done.
Up.
Done. I'll be the president and the AD. You need me to be the coach too? I'll be the coach. I'll do
give
it
me
all.
Half. Give me and Tiso can split it. You wanna, you know, bundle the workload there? We'll take it on. Okay. You're looking for a president, you're looking for an AD, we'll take that on. We'll tag team that for that 1.7. Give you a little deal so you can pay, you know, Dylan Raiola along with Dayton Raiola in a couple of years. That would be nice. But that is not what it is. Nobody has ever come out and said that you're giving me too much responsibility when you're the third, top three highest paid at your position in the world. Nobody has ever said that. Nobody has ever complained that they don't have somebody above them telling them what to do.
Now let me get this straight. So you're being paid top three in your position, and they're going to give you the responsibility of the guy who's above you as well. And so then that's going to muddy down how much you're actually being considered your worth. So in that term, you're not being paid as a top three athletic director. You're being paid as, like, maybe, you know, bottom third athletic director, bottom third president, because you're splitting your salary between the two positions.
Okay, you could say that.
Done.
Let me see another guy's position as an athletic director. That's
I'll be the bottom feeder.
200K.
I'll feed on the bottom. Give me all the leftovers. Done.
There's other
1.7 mil.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Other athletic directors in Division One are making less than 200K, and you're going to come out and complain that you're making 1.7 and you have too much to do and no boss to listen to. This is an idiotic take.
You could call
and
him quits at 2 o'clock.
No,
you don't have a boss.
Because he just turned around. A&M gave him more money to come in and be a sole athletic director instead of being a president and an athletic director when you're only being paid as an AD. That is the issue.
1.7 ain't just being paid as an AD. It's being a top three AD.
Well, he blew that a contract out of the water.
And I got news.
And what did he sign for? What
I got news for Trev. Hold on. I got news for Trev. Okay. If he thinks he's going to go to A&M and everything's going to be running smooth as a ship and a sailor, guess what? It ain't going to be running smooth because A&M has been a program that's been on fire worse than Nebraska. And, you know, they signed up for that when they left for the SEC. They got it worse than we do. So if he thinks Nebraska was bad, oh, boy, he better buckle in for A&M.
Now, the one thing that A&M and Nebraska both have in common there, T-Cell, is we love to pay coaches not to be there and coach. And so, you know, that could be one of the things that Trev liked. Is they aren't afraid to give you a stupid contract and let you walk and take the money with you in a year.
Yeah, but now they're handcuffed to all these contracts years later. I mean, they paid Jimbo Fisher for doing nothing. They literally paid him for doing nothing. And
they're
then they let him go after, what, a year?
They're paying him to do nothing. They are paying him $71 million to stay home.
But he did nothing before he came to A&M. So they literally dropped this huge contract for him to do nothing at, where did he come from? Florida State? And he came in and did nothing there.
Hey, do you know?
No, listen, Texas
you know
A&M
what?
Had to come out and pay,
hold on,
you know, the $4 million as a buyout for Trev Alberts from Nebraska. $4 million. But then guess what? He has a boss that's going to put a number in front of him, and he doesn't have any leisurely, you know, movement in that. He doubled his own salary after the season. Why? Because he felt like it, and he's got no boss telling him what he can and can't do. He straight up doubled his salary. And guess what? If A&M was to go out and, you know, assign another athletic director or hire another athletic director and pay him, you know, $8 million, guess who's getting a raise? Because guess what he wrote in his own contract? He would be the highest paid at the position in the country, in college athletics. This does not come down to money. It is deeper than that.
Again, like I said, when you're being told you're doing two jobs and you're not being given any direction or any support, that's one thing that will lead people to leave their job. And T, That is a terrible take. Jaisal, hold on a second. Because to sit here and tell me that Jimbo Fisher did absolutely nothing, Jimbo Fisher hit lightning in a bottle one season, and they were eating up them W's, getting a national
Didn't
championship there.
He just
get
eating up them
fired
W's. They
after
were eating
that?
up them crawfish. They were eating up them crab legs for free.
You know they were.
Well, where did they hire him away from? Didn't Florida State fire him?
No, Florida. He left Florida State because
He left
A&M brought
Florida
in that
State
blood
and
money.
he left Florida State. Oh,
A&M turned
on good
around and
terms, I
said,
bet too.
hey, Jimbo, we heard you're looking for another job. How would you like $71 million
He
to
got
sit on your
booted out the
couch?
door because Florida State saw it. Wasn't he one of those coaches who came in and won his first year? So he won with other guys' recruits that was set up to compete and win, and he
He didn't
took
win his
that and ran
first
them
year.
right into the ground.
He won like his second or third year.
I thought he was like Gus Malzahn or whatever that guy's name was with Auburn. He did the same thing. Came in, won his
Hey.
first year, and then ran him right into the ground. And Auburn hasn't sniffed anything since.
Now,
And Florida State's the same way.
Nobody
Tiesel,
even
I'm going to
expected
stop you
Tiesel
there.
to say a name
Tiesel.
correctly once.
Well, and first off, you mispronounced Gus's last name there. But
Well, no, but
the
surprise.
Auburn,
No,
no,
hold on. Nobody
the
cares
Auburn
about the
head
guy's last
coach,
name.
no, the Auburn head coach who came in and won his first year there was Gene Chizik, who
Who the hell is
recruited,
that?
he recruited
Gene Chizik?
Cam,
Are you just
yes,
making up names now?
no, he recruited Cam Newton out of a junior college. Cam Newton came in, was the best player in college football, won him a national championship. Cam Newton solely won that team a national championship.
Well, we haven't even discussed LSU with Gino Chapo, because Gino Chapo came in and lit a fire on everybody and led them to the promised land, and
I
they didn't
believe
keep him.
his name is Coach O.
Well, that's it for short. But Gino Chapo, according to T-Saw, is his real name.
Yeah, he likes to go by El Chapo and works south of the border there.
Well, he was hanging out with the kind of stuff El Chapo would make, and that's the reason he got out of that job.
Yeah, he was not a good hire for LSU for what came afterwards.
Well, let me tell you something. Who cares about what came afterwards? It's all about what came from it. A national championship came from it, Tiso. I don't care who you hire. I don't care what it
What?
looks like after. Listen, bring in Urban anywhere.
Oh my
You
God, not
face
this
the
again.
music later,
Now.
you get the championship now.
No, here's the thing, Jaisal. We're done with the Urban talk. Nobody cares anymore. We are dialed in. We are drunk on the roulade. We are here for it. We are on
Okay.
Rayola Mania. We are here for the
After.
roulade. And here's the thing. Hold on. Because you brought up a good point. You said that this lawsuit from the basketball team, I'm going all the way back to Trev here, baby. You said this lawsuit from the basketball team, the women's basketball team, is going to, or is the reason that Trev left Nebraska. Now I got news for you, Jaisal. I'm about to tell you something. The basketball team, not just the women's, the men's as well. Both of them are going to be the reason Trev is up at night after this Friday night. Both of them, March Madness tournaments, Nebraska takes on Texas A&M, and we're going to sweep them. We're sweeping them, baby. Huskers all the
Well,
way. Lock it in.
let me tell you something, B. So once I get started on him, I can't get off of him because that's Urban. All right. Listen, I am all about Matt
So
Rhule
he's a
right now. He
venereal
brought in
disease?
Dylan. He brought in Dylan Rayola. Okay. I'm all in on
Urban
Matt
did
Rhule.
not bring in
But
Dylan
he may have. If he was given the opportunity. Listen, Urban Meyer is like, you're going in, you're logging in to NCAA at 2011. And you're about to build a franchise, an organization within a team, within a college, and you're picking some random school and you're going to bring him back. You want to know something? That is Urban Meyer. That is why I'm behind him. He's done it in many places, multiple to be specific. You know, you just got to face the music when it's all said and done, but you get a national championship. That's what it's all about. We saw that at LSU with Coach O. So who cares about it? We saw it at Michigan. You
Who?
can cheat and get away with it. You can cheat, get away with it. National champion, nobody cares anymore. Listen, you face the music down the road. You get your championship today, but I am all in on Matt Rhule. I do wanna back that up and say that.
It is nice to hear that you're off the train.
What were your thoughts on the basketball matchups with Texas A&M? Because you touched on that by not touching on that at all.
Well, I think it's the committee doing Trev's a funny thing.
Worst there. Nightmare.
It's the committee doing a funny thing there, trying to make the game more than it really is. Listen, the Huskers, they outmatch A&M in every single caliber except for the blood money.
Yeah. Does this seem fixed to anybody else? I mean, when I saw we were playing A&M, I'm like, okay, what are the chances of that? What are the chances that we play A&M in the men's and the women's? You know, the week after our AD decides to go for A&M, something's fixed here, boys.
Yeah, it's called a good storyline there, T-Sol, and I can tell you right now.
More of a storyline.
It's also the
B-Sol was the moon landing real.
The answer is no, but
we don't have enough time to get into that.
Let me get into this. It's a quick, short one. No, but maybe now just listen. Trev was looking at where the Huskers basketball team was rated. All right. We were at the low 40s to 50s, and then all of a sudden we start making a run in the Big Ten tournament. However, are they going to let the Huskers in is a question. The Huskers have never, not once, won a college basketball game in March Madness. They have never won it. They've gone four times, never won a single game, never made the round of 32.
We do have an NIT tournament championship.
That is not March Madness. Thank you very much.
That ain't March Madness. Cat
doesn't know basketball
down
here.
Don't count it.
Now listen, did Trev sell his soul to get the Huskers into the tournament? Because listen, the Huskers are still ranked below a number one in the NIT, Indiana State.
Well, Nebraska is not the last team in. I mean, look at the first four. You should be looking at Colorado
but
State,
exactly,
Colorado.
Exactly. Now, listen. Trevor's looking at that, and he's thinking, you know, we might have one good game, maybe two. But he wanted a win for the Huskers in March Madness, and he wanted it now. So did he sell his soul? And they said, you know what? We're going to make it happen. But you're going to take on the team where you are going. So everyone in Nebraska is going to hate him, but nobody's going to know what he did behind the scenes to get the Huskers there.
Jason, I don't buy it. I don't buy it one bit.
I may need to go get my tinfoil hat on there, Jason. I'm thinking the devil, or, you know, they always say the devil's down in Georgia, but maybe Trev found him in Texas, out in Aggieland.
Well, there is something to be said about the blood money. And let me just say, you don't want me to take off this hat and see what I'm wearing underneath.
Yeah, he's been hanging out with Gino Chapo too long.
But guys, while we are talking here, I do think it is important that we need to give a little bit of a shout out here to a fellow Big Banter podcast, the Turtle Heads. They called a Nebraska NCAA tournament bid and a game one in the tournament back in football season, right when the season tipped off. That might have been the only correct thing they called in that podcast episode with me there in the crossover, because we were talking about it. He said Nebraska lines up, they're going to get a tournament win. I told him, no way. I don't even know that we're going to make it there. And then he went on to talk about the Purdue Boilermakers and how they've never won an NIT game in their life. And I don't know why that's important, but I want to put it out there. The Turtleheads did come out and say Nebraska would win a game in the NCAA tournament, and it's lining up and it's looking pretty good.
Now, B-Cell, don't throw everyone here on the Sully Scoop panel into the same boat as you. You were also one of us on this show, one of us, not all of us, that were saying Fred Hoiberg needed to go. Well, guess what, fellas? He just signed an extension into the 2028-2029 season, and guess who said we needed to sign him for longer? This guy right here, ladies and gentlemen, because there's one thing you could do right in college basketball when you are in Nebraska, and that is going out and getting this Asian Steph Curry, the Japanese Steph Curry, and that is Kaisai Tominaga.
Well, Jason, now, that's something you got right there. Bisol, before the season even started, was already he was ready to just kick Hoiberg right out of the canoe. He said, now, if you don't fire Hoiberg before the season, this team's lost. He's like, I'm firing Trev at the end of the year if Hoiberg's still here at the end. So I guess Bisol got one of his wishes there.
Listen, Trev was never on my radar. I will own the fact that I have never been a Fred Hoiberg fan. That goes back to his mediocre days with Iowa State, getting a tournament bid, being well overranked and losing, then leaving Iowa State and going to the Bulls, decimating that program in the NBA, being a terrible head coach there, and then falling into a Nebraska job where they were basically like, hey, you've got some Nebraska ties. Hey, you coached in the NBA. Maybe you can get some players to want to come here. And, you know, it took 4 years. He went through a lot of players that, you know, ended up leaving the program who were legacy players, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Fred's done a couple good things here. And one
they
of them
say
is,
Tominaga is better than good.
Now, Jason, Tominaga also, in case anybody forgets, did declare for the NBA draft last year and withdrew his name when he realized he wasn't going to get drafted. So you lucked out that he came back, unlike Tim Miles' success, where anytime he had a guy who hit, you know, lightning in a bottle for a season left and then the program was decimated. We almost had that problem last year. Then you go on to it. And again, Fred's number one thing was he got Bryce McGowan's to come here and showed, hey, I got a five-star who bought into me. Everybody else should like it and come here. And I think that's been the best thing for the program. Kasey has put the team on the map again. But when he graduates at the end of the year, this is his last tournament run. This is first tournament run. But this is his last chance to win some games for Nebraska basketball. And then who's going to be starting and helping us move forward? A lot of these guys are done at the end of the year.
Well, a lot of them were transfers coming in anyways, Bisol. So correct. He's obviously going to hit the
so
transfer
So you
portal.
Put together a one chance, one-star run, your last, you did your last dance here, and you were like, guys, I'm throwing all my chips into the middle. We don't do it, I'm gone. And you know what? I would have fired him last year. I'll own it.
This is college basketball.
I would have fired him last year.
There is a Kentucky team that went almost undefeated. Almost. I think they lost one or two games. Guess what? Okay. That whole team was freshmen. You want to know what? 9 freshmen went in the NBA draft, and they had to restart from scratch. This is college basketball. You got to go to college for one season, or you go to the G League, D League, whatever they're calling it. Okay. It's the F League. So, you're not in the NBA yet. Okay? So you are not going to be building a program around guys for 4 years if they are really that talented.
According to Fred, you're building a program around for 4 years. Hence, Tominaga being your best player who's a senior. So what I'm telling you, Jason, and I will own it, I would have fired Fred after last season. And if we don't
you
win a game...
You just told me Tominaga wasn't the best player Fred's got here. It was Bryce
best
McGowan.
Best player on the team this year. Yes, Bryce McGowan is the best player he's ever brought to the program.
I disagree with that. How's Bryce doing in the NBA?
Don't forget about Banton.
That's my point there, Tiso. Delano Banton is the best player he has brought to the program. And he was a grad transfer that came in from NC State and helped run that team because Bryce McGowan was too young and should have stayed in college a little bit longer.
Where did he help run that team to? Into the ground? Into the ground?
Now, hold
because,
on.
Because, no, hold on, hold on. Because I believe Banton was there when the team won a total of, like, I don't know, 8 games all season.
That's what happens when you have a freshman that thinks he's all that. Oh, guess where he is now.
You're talking about Bryce there. Bisol and Bryce didn't lead this team to the promised land? The team didn't get to the promised land with your buddy Bryce?
No. I didn't tell you they made it there. I told you, talent-wise, he's the best player Fred Hoiberg brought in. And just like
and
I told you
And where did he lead them? Right into the ground!
But that's where it starts, is with the head coach. That's what I'm telling you. Fred Hoiberg isn't that good a head coach. I would have kicked his ass to the curb.
And so here you go.
Won a tournament game in history.
Was wrong, Scoopers. I said Bissell was ready to kick Hoiberg out of the canoe at the beginning of the season. I was wrong. Bissell is still sitting behind Hoiberg with his foot in the air. He's ready to kick the guy right out of the canoe as soon as they lose this tournament game, they lose. But if they go down to Texas A&M, Bissell is letting his foot fly.
Unfortunately, T-Cell, now we're in a situation with this extension he got. I'm not paying that kind of money for a basketball head coach not to coach there. I'm sorry to burst your bubble there. The boosters don't care about basketball, so here's the situation. You got to ride with the guy for at least a couple more years now to get some of that guaranteed money off the books.
Now, the boosters didn't care about basketball, but they damn sure do now, because Tominaga has led them to the promised land. They went to a semifinal game in the Big Ten. We haven't been to a Big Ten. We haven't sniffed a Big Ten championship game in over 10 years in football. And now we were right there. We could taste it. The sprinkles were flowing at Cold Stone. I mean, we were getting ready and we were almost there, and now we're not. There's a reason he got an extension. It's because we can taste the sprinkles already.
Now, Jaisal, I will tell you, Tominaga did almost get us to the promised land. I will give you that. And there is no reason that his dad needs to be at every game moving forward. Have you guys seen some of these games with his dad and right by the court side there, towering over everybody? Tallest Asian guy I've ever seen. And he is the happiest person watching this Nebraska basketball team. And he makes this a very universal worldwide team, same way that K-State is. And you gotta keep the Tominagas in town. I know he's going to graduate and all of this. Make him a graduate coach. You got to do something here.
The guy is going NBA. Make him a graduate coach. He's going to the Olympics.
Okay. So he's going to hit. He's going to hit Linsanity moment for like a month, and then he's going to be back out.
He's already hit that moment there, Bissell. And if it were up to you, Mister, fire everybody on the program. You're the guy who's going to buy up all the seats right behind the bench, so his dad doesn't have a place to sit for the game.
I'll buy all the seats there, so he has a place to sit.
Why? Aren't you going to be sitting there with a Texas A&M cap on?
Yeah, you caught me. Gig'em.
But just to put a capper on this one, the Nebraska team proved us all wrong today, especially Jaisal, who said there was no chance they were getting above 500. And you just got to love it. We're all here for the ride. And let's get it, boys. We need that tournament win.
I was actually the only one riding with the Huskers from the beginning of the season, and I said they were going to have a better winning percentage than the football team. Go back to the tape and listen. But listen, fellas.
Jay, so you might have said that, but your bet history says otherwise.
The
you bet on the under for the Huskers this season on wins.
That is
a lie. And
you
didn't cash on that one.
That is a lie. The only reason.
And I think that line was like
losing money this year on the Huskers was because I couldn't get it through my thick skull that we couldn't win on the road.
He took the under on 8.5 wins for the season. The Huskers finished with 23. That was the worst bet he made all season. He was like, seven
three paychecks on that.
That is such a lie. But listen here, fellas, I only lost money on the Huskers because of on-the-road games. I couldn't get through my thick skull that, you know, you could go out and beat Purdue, you could beat Wisconsin at home, you could come back by 17 from half against a number 6 team in the country, and you can't win on the road. That's where I was losing money. But guess what? Yes, we aren't going to be playing at the Pinnacle Bank the rest of the year, but nobody is going to be playing at home. This is March Madness. Anything can happen. The Huskers have the easiest route to get to the promised land. We have the worst number one seed in our bracket in Houston. Defensive Purdue team Houston who can't score. Defensive team Houston who can't score. I think Purdue is up there as one of the better teams because they have
Purdue,
a guy.
What's Purdue down in the tournament recently? I
it doesn't
seem to
matter
recall
what
they lost
done.
To a
if
16
a team,
seed
if,
last year and
if they
15
play
seed
a
the year
team,
before.
If they play a team that does not have a big guy, Zach Edey is going to bury that team. To take out Purdue, you take out Edey. That is how you get rid of Purdue. To take out Houston, who the Huskers would have to go against if they were to beat Texas A&M, they will. Houston can't score the ball. All you need is Casey getting a little hot, rink mash, maybe step back, hitting a couple threes. This team can hit lightning in a bottle. Next thing you know, we're in the Elite Eight looking in.
Now, can we also talk about some of these Big Ten awards for the basketball season and the blatant disrespect to keep Juwan Gary off of the Big Ten first team all-defensive team? That was ridiculous. Juwan Gary has been one of the most consistent defenders in the Big Ten basketball season all year round. And I agree with you, Jaysel. I think Nebraska is going to wipe the floor with Texas A&M. Not just the guys, I think the girls as well. Both teams live and die by the three. Both teams have one of the best three-point shooters in the game. And I am not going to be surprised when for the guys here in the main tournament, March Madness, and Casey is going to do a couple of heat checks against A&M. And next thing you know, right before half, they're going to blink and he's going to drop 9 in the last, I don't know, minute 15.
Well, all I know is the one area they do need to improve on is when they get out in front, they got to keep their pedal to the metal, because what happened in that Illinois game? We're talking, we had an 11-point lead at halftime. What happened in that game?
The refs got involved there. Tiso slowed down the game. Casey couldn't get involved there. It's hard to get a heat check when, you know, there's a foul every 5 seconds and, you know, you're sending the other team to the foul line, and that's where they were making most of their points. That's where Illinois capitalized against the Huskers. And that's also where the Illinois capitalized against the Huskers when they played in Champaign during the season. But I do want to say, I got a bold prediction for the ladies tournament, fellas. It is going to be a rematch of the Big Ten championship game. It is going to be a rematch of what took place in Lincoln, Nebraska, when Iowa's head coach was throwing a little hissy fit because she went down to the Huskers. And guess what? That hissy fit's going to be a whole lot louder when it's in front of March Madness.
Well, Jason, I would love to see it because I am sick of all the Caitlin Clark headlines. Caitlin Clark this, Caitlin Clark that. And you know who's the Caitlin Clark of the men's team? Kyle Flipkowski. I mean, the guy pulled the same stunt that Caitlin Clark did. People stormed the court. The guy, you know, flipped out of his shoe and had to have three guys help limp him off the field. And who played 2 days later? Kyle Flipkowski. So
you mean Flopkowski? Did you mean Flopkowski?
Exactly. Kyle Flopkowski. Because if you're going to have three guys carry you off and then everyone's complaining, oh, you know, they totally just sprained his MCL. Oh. And he doesn't miss any time. You know, he was never seen on a crutch. Nothing happened. He didn't even go to the trainer's office, but he tried to create the headline that everyone's been trying to create.
And now before you start putting Caitlin Clark with Flopkowski, yes, Caitlin Clark did push that girl running onto the court. And yes, she did extend her hand. And yes, you know, she got a little out of line on that. Caitlin Clark is an actual stud. Listen, she's got some of the most points ever. Now, is she shooting more than everyone else on her team? Yes, but it is the shooting percentage we care about. And now she does have all these points and, you know, she's breaking records from way back when. But you got to put an asterisk next to some of that because, you know, back in college basketball years ago, they didn't have this thing called the shot clock. So people could go down and hold the ball for, you know, the whole first half if they really wanted to, or for women's for the whole first quarter. But now they have the shot clock, speeds up the game. And then you got Caitlin Clark taking advantage, but she is a menace behind the 3-point line.
Yes. Caitlin Clark is a heck of a scorer. And Kiesel, I got two things for you here. If you are not looking forward to watching Caitlin Clark play, don't turn on the women's basketball games, because I got news for you. I was going to be hanging around for a while. If you aren't looking forward to Kyle Flopakowski playing, don't worry. Duke's going to get upset first round.
Well, B-So, here's a couple of things for you with Caitlin Clark. I'm not going to dishonor. She's a great player, but she's also a great prima donna. That's what she is. She's got the refs in her back pocket. So, yeah, she's going to stick around a lot because she's got the Mahomes syndrome out there. Any call goes her way 100% of the time, and the narrative always goes her way, and she'll make sure of it. She can throw her arms at a random fan on the court, fall over, complain that the fan got in her way, and the media buys in.
See, now you are forgetting that Bisol is a Packers fan. He does not see flags like that. He does not see fouls like that. He did cheer for Aaron Rodgers. He has never seen, you know, flags that shouldn't have been thrown. He has never seen fouls that shouldn't have been called. Everything in his eyes is perfectly perfect by the refs.
Now, I have seen plenty of no calls out there, Jason, but anytime a flag comes out or a whistle's blown, chances are it's the right call.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Sully Scoop. You're here with Jason,
B-Sol,
and T-Sol.
And don't forget to follow and like, and you can catch us on X at Sully_Scoop and get in contact with us.
Go Big Red.